Good morning. It's a special joy to be with you this morning, to see friends that we've known for a long time, make some new friends. My wife and I are blessed to be here to worship the Lord with you and to celebrate these special days with you. We're grateful too and excited that Brother Chris has accepted the trial period here with the English ministry. It's so exciting. It's an important role in the church. And as you stand alongside of Mopshu Hamshang, it's a very special time, and we look forward to all of the adventures that are ahead for you in July with Brittany. Pray your blessing on all of that. It's a special privilege for me to be able to share God's word with you. It's very moving to see your commitment to evangelism and support of the team that's going out now in the near future, and all of the activities that the church is involved in here. It's just very moving for us to be here this special weekend. As we look at sharing God's word with people who need it so much, we live in a very broken world. There's a lot of darkness out there. Let's come to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll be into the message. Great God, loving Heavenly Father, we always come to you very humbly and with so much joy for all of your blessings to us. Right now, we're grateful again for the opportunity to worship you and to study your word. We pray that you'll guide us by your Holy Spirit. Touch our hearts, Lord, with your word and your message, and help us not just to hear, but actually to live out your will for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The famous Russian writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote a novel entitled A Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich. In this novel, Ivan is the key character. He's thrown into prison. He experiences all of the horrors of a terrible Russian prison camp. And one day, he's praying. A fellow prisoner ridicules him while his eyes are closed and he is praying. The fellow prisoner said, "Prayers won't help get you out of here any faster." And Ivan's response is, "I'm not praying to get out of prison, but to do God's will." That is a thought-provoking idea. I was very moved several years ago when I heard of Christians in Vietnam who were arrested, thrown in jail, and they said, "Don't pray that we will get out of jail, but pray that we'll have a strong testimony for the Lord in jail." We don't know exactly how we would respond if we were in that situation. But certainly their strong faith makes us take another look at the way we pray and how we live our lives, because in everything that we say and do, we want to bring honor and glory to God. This morning, I'd like to share some reflections with you based on a key verse, Colossians 4, verse 2. There it is. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. It's a brief passage. The entire scripture, let me just take time to read that for us. Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6. I'll leave the key verse up there on the board. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. These are the words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Colossae. In that key verse, the Apostle Paul echoes the teachings of Jesus. Jesus said, "Watch and pray." what he told his disciples in Matthew 26:41. In Luke 18:1, Jesus told his disciples that they should always pray and not give up. This morning, I'd like to share with you four aspects of persist in prayer based on devote yourselves to prayer. Picture a cabin with a huge stone fireplace. The cabin is out in the woods. You open the door of the little cabin, and right facing you on the far wall is a huge fireplace that goes from the floor to the ceiling, made of great big rocks. And in the opening at the bottom of the fireplace, there's firewood. And it's stacked neatly with the kindling underneath and the bigger logs on top. So you light the kindling, and then as they take off, the big logs start burning, and you pull up a chair. You're there in the middle of winter, and you are so cold. And you sit in that chair in front of the fireplace, and you still find yourself shivering. It's so cold, and there's no break from the intense cold because there's no fire in the fireplace. Prayer without passion, without fervency, is like a fireplace without fire. But when we pray wholeheartedly, when we pray fervently and passionately, it's like the fire in the fireplace that just takes our prayers right up to the heart of God. So the first point this morning in being devoted to prayer is fervent. Pray with fervency. As a teenager, I was already familiar with James 5:16. The intense, fervent prayer of the righteous is very powerful. But it wasn't so long ago when I asked myself, what is intense prayer? What does it mean to really pray intensely and passionately? Some people lift their hands to pray. Some people pray with open hands. Many people that I know always clasp their hands to pray. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, it says, pray, lifting up holy hands. But I'm sure that fervent prayer doesn't require that we always lift up our hands to pray. Should we bow our heads when we pray, or should we look up to heaven when we pray? Sometimes when Jesus prayed, he lifted up his head and looked up to heaven, like Matthew 14:19 records. In the Old Testament, Exodus 34:8, Moses bowed his head to pray fervently. Is it okay to sit while praying? Or do we always have to stand? Or do we need to kneel in order to pray fervently? Nehemiah 9:5 records that the people stood to pray. In Ezra 9:5, the people knelt to pray. But I'm sure that fervent prayer does not require that we stand to pray or that we kneel to pray. I think many people wonder whether there need to be tears in order to pray fervently. But surely, fervent prayer does not require tears. Fervent prayer also does not depend on the words that we say, or whether we say them in a loud voice, or whether we just pray quietly in our hearts. So, what is fervent prayer? I believe it requires two things. First, that we are focused. And second, that we pray from our heart. When you pray fervently, then prayer is effective and the form doesn't matter. The first point to persist in prayer, to be devoted to prayer, is fervent. The Bible commentator Adam Clark said, "Praying requires more of the heart than of the lips." In the Bible, the form of prayer was not an issue, didn't make any difference. And the words themselves are not the crucial thing. If you want to be devoted to prayer, then you must be fervent in your praying. You must be wholehearted. There is one danger when we focus on fervency and passion in praying, and that is that the sincerity, the intensity, may be misplaced. For example, before his conversion, Paul was wholeheartedly persecuting Christians. But he was wrong. What did God do? When Paul was on his way to Damascus, God threw him off that high horse and helped him make a U-turn in his life. Second point, persistent prayer. We need to see that prayer is important. Imagine that life could be symbolized by a great big round pizza. And with that pizza in mind, each slice represents a different area of life. So one slice, one area is school. Another area is home life and family. Another area is work responsibilities. Another area is church. And for many years, I just saw prayer lined up alongside of all of these other areas of life, alongside of all of these other slices of life. And so there's one good slice there, an important slice, called prayer in our lives. But I have come to see that prayer is even more important. Prayer is the basis for everything that we do. Everything else that we do depends on prayer. So prayer must have a priority in our lives. That's why for this second point here of being devoted to prayer, I've titled it Important. We have to see that prayer is important. It needs a priority in our lives. That's why the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing. Pray continually." So, we've got two points here. We can see a close interconnection between praying passionately and making prayer a priority in our lives. My sermon today has four solid reminders about being devoted to prayer and persisting in it. The third point, third reminder, is a point for us as Christians to say that the priority of prayer and that passion in prayer are important because prayer is part of our relationship with God. And so the third point I've simply titled relationship. It's not the words themselves that are the main thing. There's no magic in the words of our prayers. This relationship, as an R, starts with an R, as this third point, is a reminder that prayer is powerful because it connects us to the power of God. There's no power in the prayer itself, but prayer is powerful because it connects us to the power of God, and not just to his power, but prayer connects us to God's heart. And that's why it's important to pray from our heart, because prayer connects our heart to the heart of God. God is a loving Heavenly Father who cares for us. He listens to our prayers. And we learn how to pray by praying and by joining others in prayer. As we lift each other up in prayer, we're drawn closer to God and we're drawn closer to each other. It's a special kind of tie that binds. Ultimately, our prayers are not about material things, even though material things are important. And God wants us to pray about every area of our lives, including material things. But ultimately, our prayers are about our relationship with God. And then, in fact, our prayers also help link us to each other. As I was working on this sermon, I realized that the desire to pray is really a desire for God. The priority of prayer and the passion of our prayers is another way of saying that we're really seeking the kingdom of God. We want that kingdom of God to come, like Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So today, when I encourage you to pray, maybe what I'm really encouraging you to do is to seek God. Seek God with passion. Make seeking God important in your life. Seek God's heart and God's will. Seek God's love and forgiveness. The music this morning was so powerful. It was a huge blessing to have that way of bringing us into worship this morning. Seek God's hope and God's healing. Seek God's peace and his reconciliation. And then remember, he calls us to be ambassadors of reconciliation with the message and ministry of reconciliation. We certainly pray for ourselves, but we pray for others. We pray for our families. We pray for our church. We pray for our city, for our nation, for the entire world. That's what it means to pray. In Isaiah 56:7, God says, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." That's huge. A house of prayer for all nations. When we pray, we need to expect good things from God. God gives good gifts. And I titled this fourth point, Expect, because God sees, God hears, God cares, and God gets involved. We pray for the health and safety of the mission team as they travel halfway around the world. We pray for God's protection over them each step of the way. In Ephesians 6:19, even the Apostle Paul requested prayer for his mission work. Ephesians 6:19, Paul wrote, "Pray also for me that whenever I speak, the words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel." So we also pray for the mission team, that they'll have the courage to share about Jesus in a loving way. And we pray that people will be open in South Korea, in Vietnam, in Cambodia, wherever they go, that those who hear the good news will be open to Jesus and accept Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And we pray for all of us that as God blesses us, we'll become channels for those blessings so we can be a blessing to other people, just like God promised Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 3. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That was God's promise to Abraham. Listen to the way now that Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2 connects our blessing to missions and evangelism. This is Psalm 67, starting with verse 1. Very familiar. It sounds like an echo of the blessing that's recorded in number 6. "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be made known on earth, your salvation among all nations." So God blesses us to be a blessing. We want to pass on those blessings. In Exodus 3, verses 7 and 10, this is what God told Moses, and it's a challenge to all of us. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people. I have heard them crying out, and I am concerned about their suffering. So now go, I am sending you." God still hears, God still sees, God still cares, and now he's sending all of us. He's sending us out to share his love and his message and the good news about Jesus with the whole world. And there is a clear link to prayer, Because when I read Matthew 9, the end of Matthew 9, verses 30 and 37 and 38, it's a special concern on the heart of Jesus that he tells his followers, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So that's the end of chapter 9. Now watch the beginning of chapter 10. At the beginning of chapter 10, he sends out his disciples, the very ones who were praying. So when we pray that God will send out people into his harvest, we shouldn't be surprised if God sends us. In fact, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, is for every Christian. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. In fact, the key word in the Great Commission, the imperative, is not go. The imperative is make disciples. So we could really translate the Greek there as you go, make disciples of all nations. So the idea is, wherever we are, wherever we go, we're to make disciples. We're to be a blessing to others. So as you go to buy groceries, as you go to pump gas, as you go to school, as you go to work, at home, wherever you are, let the light shine. Be a blessing. And so on the mission trip, guess what? The mission team won't wait until they get to South Korea and Vietnam and Cambodia to be a blessing to others. It means that in the airport, the mission team is going to be patient and kind. It means on the airplane, as they're traveling, they're going to be a blessing to those around them on the plane. It means for us here at home, when we're driving along these crowded highways in Houston, we aren't going to get all angry and fly into road rage as we drive. And at home, it means we're going to be patient and kind. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." There we go. "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus was not saying you have to fly halfway around the world before you let your light shine. No, he was saying, as you go, wherever you are, let your light shine. As you go, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. That's what it means. This is the West Houston Vietnamese Baptist Church. But in fact, the church has a French ministry. And this year, my wife and I were very moved to learn that by the end of the year, approximately 100 members of this church will have participated in overseas mission projects. Amazing. You understand that the good news about Jesus isn't limited to just Vietnamese or just Anglos. But the good news about Jesus is for everyone. No restrictions, no limitations, no one is excluded, regardless what nationality they are, regardless what language they speak. Reaching out across cultures isn't easy, but God will bless the efforts, because in Revelations 7:9, it says that in heaven there will be a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne, wearing white robes, praising God. So that is what we are expecting when we are devoted to prayer. Before I close, there are two other words in our key verse that we need to note. The first word is be watchful. Colossians 4:2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful." There are several reasons why we need to be watchful. In Matthew 26:41, Jesus said, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." We're faced with all kinds of temptations. One of the most difficult temptations that we face is selfishness. It simply means we're focused too much on ourselves. We need to seek God, seek His kingdom first, put everything else in second place. Everything else is secondary. Another huge dangerous temptation, is to focus on feelings. Our faith is not just based on feelings. Our relationship with God brings us peace and joy, like family harmony. Many Christians experience an emotional high when they first commit their lives to Jesus, decide to follow Jesus, and then they're concerned when those same emotions do not come back. But it's important for us to remember our Christian life is not based on feelings. God and God's love never change. They're the firm foundation of our faith, like a solid rock that we can hang on to. Of course, we struggle with various concerns and difficulties and questions. But then we come to Jesus and sit with Him a while, not to make all kinds of demands on Him, but to simply find peace and contentment by being with Him. That's our foretaste of heaven while we're right here on earth. And the key is prayer. Another reason that Jesus and Paul counsel us to watch and pray is that along the way, all of us will meet plenty of hard times and difficult people, people who are dishonest and deceiving and manipulative, all kinds of things. So we'll need to keep coming back to Jesus for guidance and counsel and rest and peace even as we go. Let's see. There's a summary of the temptations. Three temptations: selfishness, focus on feelings, and worry too much. The final word in the verse, Colossians 4, verse 2, is thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. We all have so many things to thank God for. Above all, we thank God for His salvation. We thank God for that reconciliation to Him, which Jesus brought by His sacrifice on the cross. So now we're accepted as sons and daughters of God, and God continues to demonstrate His love to us every single day in so many ways. So when we pray, we always come to God with thankful hearts. I like to say we're saved by God's grace, we live every day by God's grace, and we serve by God's grace. And so we need to be grateful for opportunities to serve. God gives us opportunities to let our life shine, even in difficult circumstances. And so we always come to God with thankful hearts. As we pray and contribute to God's kingdom work, others are also going to be grateful for the way God answers our prayers. It's exciting to see your commitment to God and to others, and your dedication of time, talent, and resources for evangelistic efforts and to support the mission teams. This morning, I've shared a few points from God's Word to encourage you based on our key verse. The important thing to remember is to be devoted to prayer, to be persistent in prayer. And then we saw four points there. Number one is fervent, starts with an F. Be passionate in your prayer and in your service. This transforms our prayer and our service from a mere formality to passionate praying and serving wholeheartedly. Second point was important. We make prayer a priority. It's a priority to pray and to seek God's kingdom. The third point is relationship. Prayer is actually all about our relationship with God. We need to love God with our whole heart, with our soul, with our mind, with our strength, like Jesus said in Matthew 22:37. And then finally, to expect good things from God. And for me, it's easy to remember these main 4 points because it's like fire. Fervent, important relationship, expect. Continue to be watchful. Also, straight out of our key verse there, life is full of difficulties and temptations. A Methodist pastor named Samuel Chadwick said, and he was right when he said it, the one goal of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toiling, he mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. And finally, continue to be thankful. In Philippians 4:6, the Apostle Paul wrote, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. However long the Lord lets us live, we need to keep praying. Praying is like breathing for our soul. When we stop breathing, our bodies die. When we stop praying, our soul dies. Remember to pray in a special way for the mission team. May God bless us all as we make prayer a priority, pray with passion to maintain that relationship with God, to strengthen our relationship with God, and then we do all that and everything that we say and do to bring honor and glory to God, and we look forward to spending an eternity with Him, enjoying God's love in heaven with multitudes of others who are dedicated to the Lord, who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Great God, our loving Heavenly Father, this morning we're so grateful for your word, which leads us and guides us. And Lord, today we understand again how much we need to be devoted in prayer. We need to persist in prayer. We need to pray fervently, Lord. We need to make it a priority in our lives. Help us, Lord, to strengthen that relationship with you as we pray and as we live our lives, Lord. We want to live our lives in a way that brings you honor and glory. And Lord, we come to you expectantly because you're such a good, good Father. And you bless us in so many ways, and we pray that you'll help us to be a channel of your blessing and that the seeds we sow can bear fruit for eternity. Lord, we always come to you with grateful hearts. We pray that you'll keep us watchful. Help us not to fall into temptation. Deliver us from evil. And Lord, we're grateful again for this time that we've had here together to sit at your feet, be connected to your heart. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.